Coming to you from the Grey Moon Studios just outside Atlanta, Georgia, for a third season. This is Trice Talk, a conservative political and social issue podcast that's not just for conservatives. We don't try to tell you what to think. We just want to see if you're paying attention. For the next hour and a half, we hope to stimulate, motivate, aggravate, and enlighten you. Now, here's your host, a guy that's been paying attention since Ronald Reagan beat Jimmy Carter in 79, Grey Moon himself, Donald Wayne.
Hey, everybody. I am Donald Wayne, and it's Wednesday, December the 28th, 2022. And I want to welcome you to the first episode of Trice Talk for Season 3. Kind of like the guy said, right? I hope everybody had a great Christmas holiday this year. I know we did at our house. Our little family group spent the better part of 2 days in pajamas, eating Christmas food and the obligatory snack items as we watched the last few Christmas movies that we typically watch every year at this time. We did throw in a few other non-holiday items, movies, I guess I should say, especially since we always have a few movies as Christmas gifts, and we got to watch some of those. But, you know, the main thing is we just got to chill and spend time together on one of the most special holidays of the year, if not the most special holiday for many of us. Hopefully you too got to spend some quality time with your family and friends and neighbors, coworkers, or anybody, whoever it is in your life that you consider special and you want to be with them on these special occasions. After all, time is really the most special gift that you can give somebody. And it doesn't cost you a thing. Except some of your own time. If you've listened to Trice Talk in the past, you probably noticed the new intro for the show. And of course, if this is the first time you listen to Trice Talk, then this won't mean anything to you. But I hope you like it. It's kind of a change from the music that we used to use in the first two seasons of Trice Talk. I thought since we're making some changes for Trice Talk for season three, that it would be nice to start out with a professionally done intro. And actually, I had that intro done several months ago in anticipation of starting up the show again, thinking that it was going to be done several months ago, and that, of course, never happened. But I'm curious. If you listen to the intro, again, some of you who may have listened to Trice Talk Season 2, you realize that it was new, and maybe you paid attention to the little details of the intro. But I'm curious if any of you noticed anything odd or inaccurate about the intro itself. If you did, I'm going to challenge you right now to send me an email to tricetalk69pts@gmail.com and let me know what you think that odd item is or the inaccurate item is in the new intro for the season. And of course, depending on what kind of responses I get, I may just have a prize or two in the old Trice Talk vault that I can send to let's just make it the first three people that respond and give me the correct answer. I'm going to have some new prizes this year for season three. Got several ideas and I'm having some things made up to use as giveaways when I do little mini contests throughout the year. And then of course, if things go well, I plan on having a large contest at the end of the season, kind of like we did on season two. Or maybe that was, Yeah, I guess that was, because we started season two in the fall. That's right. So it wasn't really the end of season two. It was just the Christmas holidays. All right. I had to think back a little bit. But regardless, this year, my plan is to end season three at the Christmas holidays and have a special contest at that time. Anyway, that's all kind of coming. We got a long way to go before we get there, right? As the announcer said, this is a conservative podcast that is not just for conservatives. Now, I actually come from a long line of Democrats, you know, from Texas. I think everybody in my family growing up was a Democrat. I know they were big Kennedy Democrats, but, you know, I think some of the older ones may have changed that affiliation later on in their life. But I just know that we were all staunch Democrats. Now, I was a kid, so I wasn't really old enough to certainly wasn't old enough to vote or anything. But I remember as a kid, we made my cousin and I, my one closest to my age, male cousin, we made posters, election posters for John F. Kennedy. And we, I don't know if we stapled them or we taped them to telephone poles around the communities where we lived in Dallas, Texas. But yeah, that's so, you know, I experienced time as a Democrat. But saying that, I have become a conservative when I became a voting adult years ago. But this season is going to be somewhat different from last season. One, because I'm going to be doing the show mostly solo, unless someone creeps in towards as the season progresses here. I'm going to also be doing a combination of live and pre-recorded shows. Last year ended the season more or less doing just pre-recorded shows, but I'm going to try to get back to doing some live shows this year because I miss the interaction with the audience as we go along. And also, I'm hoping to expand the call-in audience this season because I really want to talk to some people about how they feel about how things have been going the last 2 years and, you know, what they think the solution might be, what you think the solutions might be to make things better in this country. We may not end up agreeing on anything or very little in our conversation. And I certainly don't want to get into arguments with anybody. I do not intend to get in arguments. I do not intend to let people abuse their time if they call in. But if you can carry on a civil conversation and make your points and then just accept the fact that I may or may not agree with you or some of the other people maybe in the chat room may or may not agree with you, then I would love to hear from you. Of course, Trash Talk is not an explicit podcast. I just want to kind of remind people of that. And then anybody new listening to this podcast, it's not an explicit podcast. We don't just, it's not open season on language and a subject matter on this podcast. Although, you know, if you listened last year, you know that we skirt the line sometimes and I typically don't edit stuff out that sneaks in. We had some callers last year that kind of, or last season, that kind of stepped over the line as far as I'm concerned. But we typically don't edit that stuff out unless it just really gets, you know, let's say too graphic for us to allow to be attached to a podcast from TriStalk. Also, Podbean will probably still be used to store the episodes as in the past. I intend to use some other platforms to post shows this year. I also intend to do some live video shows that will be posted in other formats. And I actually have another site that I want to use, but I'm having trouble getting the equipment acclimated to that site to where it gives me the results that I want. So, I very much want to try to use some other sources this year to post shows. Now, while I will usually be solo on this show, at least as far as I can tell right now, I hope that some of Trash Talk friends from the past will join me from time to time, like LEJ and Crimson, Eric. Of course, Eric's a busy guy and is involved in a lot of different podcasts. So he may or may not be able to spend some time with me occasionally. But my goal right now is to do at least two live or one or two, and let's say one or two pre-recorded shows a week. We'll see how that works out. I'll try to post the schedules on Podbeam so you'll see them, or you might be able to see them on Twitter, possibly Facebook, to see what is coming up in the near future. Also, you know, the video thing, I kind of played with it on this other site, and, you know, I know a lot of people do video feeds as well right now. And then some of them have co-hosts and so forth. So there's more than one person to look at, during the podcast. If I can learn to use this equipment the way that I want to, then I'd probably be more apt to do more video shows than I would do otherwise. But I just want to see if the video adds anything to the show for me and for you, because I don't want it to be just something where you're sitting here looking at me for however long the show is. And not have something else to look at. So we'll see how that goes, but I'll probably experiment with a few and see if I enjoy that experience and see what kind of feedback I get from you guys. While talking about social and political issues is still going to be the main driver of Trash Talk again this season, I'm going to do my best to offer some light and hopefully entertaining material this year. The one thing that Dennis Lee and I tried to do with Trash Talk last season is have some other stuff in there besides just the main political and social issues of the day. Because I really enjoy doing lighthearted stuff, and part of me wishes that I could, that the world was such a wonderful place that I could do just a show based on doing fun things and talking about things that are nice, warm, and fuzzy. But social issues and political issues are really important to me because I think that we've failed as voters in this country to hold our elected officials to the fire and get things done for us. And, I don't want to get into that speech right now, but, you know, I think we need to be aware of what's going on, and we need to make sure that we're all engaged in trying to change things for the better in this country. I know it's going to be difficult for a large number of people to agree on exactly what should be done to make things better. But, you know, I mean, I don't think that as much of America is at odds with each other as social media and mainstream media wants us to believe. I mean, I could be wrong, but I can't imagine anybody that doesn't care about the welfare of their family and their friends. And if you have family and friends that you care about, I think that we ought to be able to find a large number of common ground issues that we can agree on. And so I think we need to talk about them, even though everybody in the world talks about them, but and everybody, you know, has a different spin. And I don't want to just regurgitate the same stuff that you hear on the news every day. If you watch the news, I think a lot of people have given up on it, but I want to address some things again that I think are important for us to be concerned about and push to make changes of in this country. So, but again, there's also a lot of positive stories in this country. And I think it's important that we also bring out those stories, because it lets us know as Americans that there's a lot of good people in this country. You know, you listen to the mainstream media and you think that, you know, at least they give the impression that conservatives are just a bunch of, I'll say, white supremacist Nazis that just only concerned about their issues and their welfare in this country. And I think if we do a better job of putting these stories, the human interest stories, out front and center for people to see, oh, okay, well, this is a group of Democrats that do this, that is good for everybody. And this is a group of Republican leaning people that do this, you know, because I don't believe that the majority of Democrats are people who want socialism or communism in this country. I do not. I just refuse to believe that. And conversely, I think that hope that Democrats don't feel that the majority of conservatives or Republicans in this country are people who are only issued about concerned about white issues and white supremacy or the stupid terminology of they want to use about comparing Republicans and conservatives to Nazis. It's just insane. So one way we can do that is by putting some stories out there front and center about people on both sides of the aisle that are actually doing things that benefit everybody in this country, that benefit their communities and their neighborhoods and all people, regardless of their political leanings. So anyway, I'm going to try to make sure that there's enough of that. And then there's just sometimes, hopefully, that I can do some stuff that's fun and entertaining and funny, if you will, because people who know me know that I don't have a lot of serious bones in my body, but I think the politics of the last, 10 years, maybe longer than that, have really made it harder for people to see that side of me from time to time. But it's there. It's there. And so I'm hoping that I can bring that out in some of the podcast as well. See, I can't even talk sometimes. So as 2023 is knocking on our door, let me share with you a few of the topics that I'm going to be concentrating on the weeks to come here. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. I just, it'd give you an idea of some of the things that I am going to be focused on early on. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the right of free speech in our country for some time now, and there's different opinions about what constitutes free speech. But I think it's been very evident, and I hate to say this, but I think it goes back as far as, maybe more than 4, 5, 6 years ago, when there was a push by a certain element in this country to, you know, eliminate or start affecting free speech in this country by telling people, well, we shouldn't be saying Merry Christmas anymore because we're offending a certain group of people in this country. or it offends some people in this country. And I think that really, if you look back, I think that may have been some of the beginnings of this attempt by people, I have to say, on the left, maybe liberals. I don't want to just label it strictly Democrat because, again, I still have a lot of Democrats in my family. And I know there's a lot of stuff that's being pushed by Democrats right now that they would not be in favor of. But the free speech thing has really become an issue because a lot of people are saying, well, you can't say this anymore, like the attempts to change our language, you know. But I think liberals just really want to limit free speech if it contradicts their ideology. I think they see it as a threat. Free speech is a threat to their ideology and trying to do the things that they want to do in this country or do to our country is really the way I feel about it. But, you know, it really boils down to them saying that if free speech or speech offends somebody, you know, it should be banned. And what's encouraging for me is to see people like Bill Maher, which is a very, very, or has been in the past, a very outspoken liberal Democrat, if you will, who has been very critical of most things we consider conservative in this country. But I've slowly seen him, thanks to Joe Biden in these 2 years he's had in office, I've seen him address the extremes that the liberals are pushing in this country, especially in regards to free speech, because that affects, you know, what he makes a living doing. And he's begun to more and more point out the insanities in the ways that liberals want to limit free speech and the things that they come out and try to suppress, you know, and as affected comedians in this country, you know. Gosh, if the liberals really hate comedy and free speech in our country right now, they would just, the top of their head would blow off if they went back and listened to some things of comedy from the 70s and 80s. But, you know, basically liberals are, you know, along with certain segments of our society, are just trying to rewrite the meaning of words in our society as well. And that's a form of suppressing free speech because they, you know, they only want you to refer to certain things in our society in this manner. I mean, they change the definition of a man and a woman, or they expand it to mean a lot of things that would make many people scratch their head today. And if we complain about it, then they want to call us, you know, especially conservatives, racist or homophobes, xenophobes, white supremacists, and so on. I mean, think back about when Donald Trump was in office and the COVID virus started becoming a real big issue. You know, Donald Trump doesn't have a real refined way of expressing himself sometimes, which a lot of people in the country are the same way. But when he started making inferences about it being a China virus or a Chinese virus or so forth, it upset a lot of people. And they said he was a xenophobe because he was targeting the Chinese people for this virus. And so there was a lot of attempts to suppress that. And, you know, I can tell you that if the virus had started in America and had spread across the world, there would be no hesitancy on the parts of other countries to somehow or another infer that it was an American virus or a U.S. virus or something of that nature. But because, you know, Donald Trump made it an issue for China, which he was really pushing it to be, you know, the government of China, not necessarily the people themselves. But it was taboo, and the mainstream media supported the suppression of that. So really what liberals have told us for some time now is that if we don't get on board and use the terminologies that they think that we should be using, you know, then they try to shut us down, or they try to get people to stop supporting businesses that say things that they don't like. That's suppressing a free speech. But yet, you know, when it comes to liberals' free speech, they can call anybody anything they want, and they can make accusations of, towards anybody they want. It's really mind-boggling how in this country a lot of people have accepted the liberal take on everything and just, oh yeah, this is what we should be doing. This is the way we should be going. That is not free speech. I understand that, you know, when you have free speech, that there's going to be a lot of things said about certain people that's going to offend someone. But, you know, our Constitution doesn't guarantee that we're not going to be offended by the speech in this country. People don't have a constitutional right not to be offended. It just doesn't happen, you know. But that's what liberals seem to want to push in this country. They want to seem to control the level of offensiveness. Is that a word? I have to look that up. But, you know, they just don't want people to be able to say things that might offend a certain group. And as we have realized since the Merry Christmas debacle of several years ago, is there's no limit to that. There's no limit now. You know, people can be offended now if you call them the wrong gender, if you mistakenly, you know, use the wrong gender when you're referring to them, and they want you to eliminate a bunch of words like mother and father and expectant mother and pregnancy and breastfeeding and all these things they want you to eliminate because they say it offends somebody or it excludes somebody. Well, then you might as well take the free speech amendment out of the Constitution, folks, because if you're going to say we have free speech as long as we do it this way, that's not free speech. So that's going to be one of the prime things that I'm going to be getting into when we get into the third season full swing. Another thing I want to talk about is the money that Congress is spending. And this is kind of pushed. It was pushed to the top of my list when this $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill that Congress pushed and Republicans, a number of Republicans signed on to allow it to pass, which is insane, insane. The amount of money that's been spent in the last 2 years, or actually 3 years, by government in this country. And if the thing is, this happens all the time. This happens year after year after year. They wait till the end of the year to start talking about the budget. And, oh, you know, if we don't pass this bill, you know, then the government shuts down. They do it every year. So, what's the definition of insanity? That you keep doing the same thing and expect different results? No, this is the results they want, people. We as American citizens need to accept the fact that this is what we've allowed the people and our elected officials in Congress to do time after time after time. Wait till the last minute, then throw this gigantic bill together loaded with stuff that would never pass on its own. And then tell us, oh, well, we've got to pass this, otherwise government shuts down. It's a ridiculous amount of spending, money that they don't have. Under the false pretense that the government is going to shut down or collapse. All government services will cease if we don't pass this thing. And that's what everybody uses as their excuse, even Republicans. I mean, it's called an omnibus spending bill because it's just a combination of appropriation bills that funds different parts of the government, but it's loaded with little pet projects. And that's probably why some of the Republicans signed on to this thing, because you have to look deep. You have to pull the cover back and see, okay, what are these Republicans getting when they signed on to this bill? I've said for years, and I know some legislators have said also, the fact that we allow these people year after year after year to cram a bunch of garbage together, along with a few necessary and worthwhile projects, so everybody has to vote on the whole thing or everything, and nothing gets done, is ridiculous. We let them do it. They're pulling the wool. Well, they're not really pulling the wool over their eyes, because we know that's what they are doing every time, and we keep letting them do it. So they're not. I think that's why they do it, because there's no repercussions for them. We don't stand up and say, you're not doing this anymore. If you vote for this thing, we're going to do everything possible to get you out of office next time. Now, you know, obviously Democrats love that system, but I think there's a number of Republicans as well that love it, that, and that's why this crap keeps getting passed time after time. I mean, the bill is 4,000 pages. 4,000 pages. Who in their right mind, given a 4,000-page document, you know, I think it came out just a few days before Christmas holidays, Christmas break, if you will, and telling people that they got to vote on it now or the government's going to shut down on, what was it, December the 27th, I believe, something like that. It's insane. It's insane. And it's insane that we allow it to happen. We're allowing it to happen. We shake our head. We gripe about it. You know, those of us who have microphones that we can get on and have a platform to say things, all of your major talk show people who are at least conservative, complain about it, but it happens every year because we, the people, don't stand up and say, you're not doing that anymore. And when you elect somebody, especially somebody new, or if you reelect somebody that's been in there for a number of years, God knows how many years more than they should have been, one of the conditions is you do not support this method of passing bills anymore. Every bill should be individually presented to the legislature to be voted on. So the importance of that bill and the decision about whether or not this is something that's worth passing into law can be done individually, instead of say, oh, well, you know, if we don't pass this crazy bill to give, you know, $2 million to California to build a windmill out on Alcatraz, which that's made up. Okay, I'm just expanding on that. Then we can't get this hospital relief bill passed that we really need. So why do you think they attach garbage to things that are important? And because the garbage wouldn't ever get passed otherwise. So that's going to be a big focus. In fact, one of the things I'm going to try to do is go in there and pick out all the ridiculous things that got added to this bill, and as many as I can find of the people that benefited from that, the congressmen and the senators that benefited from that. So anyway, I'm going to do more on that. I made a couple of notes here that as I was going through some of it last night, this is something that's in the bill. Now, it may be important to some of you. I'm not quite sure. But this is two things that was in that omnibus bill that got passed. The Pump Act and the, let's see, what was it? The Pump Act and, oh gosh. There was two things. There's something about breastfeeding. Well, anyway, the Pump Act requires employers to support breastfeeding parents by providing time and space for new mothers. I'm surprised that they use the terminology mothers in the bill, to pump breast milk. So when you go to work, if you're a new mother and you return to work, they've got to allow you, the company not only has to allow you time to pump breast milk, but they also have to provide space for you, and bathrooms don't count. So, and I'm sure there's a minimum of employees attached to this that they wouldn't, that they can't make some mom and pop or, company do this. It maybe has 3 or 4 employees or 10 employees. I'm sure there's a minimum number, and it's hopefully for large companies, but these companies have to go in and invest money and create spaces for people to do that. Something that has nothing to, I mean, we're getting to the point in this country, and I'm not totally opposed to the necessity or the idea of this. It's just the way that it gets implemented. There was something else about that. I guess I didn't put that down. Oh yeah, the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. Now, the way I read that was that if somebody comes to apply for a job and they're obviously pregnant, that you can't use that as a determination whether or not you hire that person for the job. That's the way I read it. So that's some of the stuff that got put in this omnibus spending bill. And I only picked on those because those two jumped out at me when I was reading through the list of things that were attached that had nothing to do with the operation of keeping the government open. But there'll be a lot of others when I actually, do a podcast or two on this subject. But the fact that we allow this to happen year after year after year, under the guise of we have to keep the government open. Oh, but we're going to put this other stuff in there as well that we know damn well wouldn't pass. Not necessarily those two things, but things that would not pass if they were thrown out there on their own. So when are we going to wake up, people? When are we going to wake up? All right. The third subject, just want to touch on that will be something that if you've listened to Trash Talk in the past, you know, I'm very passionate about. I'm from Texas originally. I've been in Georgia a long time now, but I still have a lot of feelings for the state of Texas, but just for our country in general. And this whole idea of the way that the Biden administration has treated the border, and I'm not going to blame everything that is wrong with that situation right now on him, but he certainly made it worse in the last 2 years. He and the people that are supposed to be that are assigned to be looking for a solution to this problem. But, you know, Congress has been so busy the last 2 years, investigating and having hearings on January 6th, you know, that they really can't spend any time on what are we going to do to fix the border. Now, they've had the majority in the House for the last 2 years, and they've had a tiebreaker in the Senate. So if they really cared about immigration issues, why haven't they done something about it? Even if it's things that they know Republicans aren't going to support, nothing has been proposed in the last 2 years of the Democrats' control, complete control of the country, to fix this problem. The only thing they've done under Biden's leadership is to allow more people to come in this country illegally than there ever has been before in the history of this country. And there's no plans. There's no plans. The illegal immigration number is expected to reach over 5 million. I've seen some estimates of 5.5 million people by the end of 2023. 5.5 million new people coming into this country. I wonder how many of those 5.5 million are going to be self-supporting or actually going to contribute to the economy of this of the American society. Senator Kennedy, which is somebody that I love to listen to when he's on Fox News being interviewed, he's kind of down to earth kind of guy and has a lot of sayings that he uses during his interviews. But Senator Kennedy from Louisiana said on an interview the other day that Biden is either incompetent or is deliberately allowing these people to flood into our country to provide Democrats with a new constituency at some point in the future. But then he goes on to say he thinks that Joe Biden is more intelligent than that. And so he doesn't believe it's incompetency. He believes it's a deliberate effort on the part of Biden and the Democrats to change the face of this country. I don't mean face in a typical sense. I mean just the whole, just to change the society in our country. I'd like to know where the 5.5 million illegals are going to go to work in our country. Now, keeping in mind a number of those 5 million are underage and children, small children. So, you know, they obviously aren't going to be expected to have a job, but who's paying for the education of those kids? Who is paying for the medical expenses of all these people that come in? Do you think 5 million people coming into this country are all going to be healthy? And you know, if they don't have any real serious means of supporting themselves, or if they've just come in here making a new life for themselves, there's no way in the world that all of them are going to be able to handle many of the medical emergencies that they're going to experience. So who's paying for that? There's even been some talk in some areas of the country, making college tuition free for, illegal immigrants coming in. And who's paying for that, folks? So there's a lot of issues besides just the fact that many people should not be coming in here, you know, at any given year, any given time, especially in the manner in which they're doing on the southern border. There's no logical explanation for what's happening down there, except that Democrats see that as an opportunity for a future voting base for them, if they can get the citizenship requirements changed in this country, or they give them amnesty with a whole bunch of rights. I mean, this is on top of the fact that we have over 1 million American citizens themselves who have refused to go back to work and are living off the government teat in this country. Yes, I said teat. Look it up. You know, most foreign countries have requirements for residence and citizenship in their countries. Most countries that have, you know, most free countries have restrictions where you have to learn to be proficient in the native language of that country so you can actually maneuver around in society and be productive. Many of them also have requirements that you have to have a guaranteed job waiting for you when you immigrate to that country and want to become a citizen. It's just for some reason or other, you know, Democrats love to throw in our faces, especially on healthcare issues, about countries that have all this free social medicine kind of stuff, but yet they don't want to address the fact that, some of these other countries are really having problems in other areas, and these other countries also have restrictions about immigration that, you know, they want to ignore in this country. So, you know, it's not a tit for tat kind of thing here. Democrats cherry pick things that they want to, you know, find that they like about other countries and how the social issues are handled differently, but yet they don't want to address the things that they would consider negative if they were trying to use it in a conversation. But, you know, Biden and the Democrats act like the only qualifier to be able to live in this country is to want a better life than what you had back home. Well, it's a fact of life. You know, if you've got the greatest free society on the face of the earth, that there's going to be a lot of people that want to live here, but it's not possible for everybody to live here. One would have to ask, why don't those same people try to make efforts to change their countries? Nothing is ever going to change if all the people who don't like what's going on in those countries escape the country. It's never going to change. And so that open door thing is going to continue here until we get to the point like some countries have realized with their lax immigration policies, that it actually changes the whole country to the point where it's unrecognizable anymore. You don't even recognize that as a country that you would have recognized several years back. But there's so many things like this that I want to cover in the next few months of the beginning of the season three. I mean, there's just a lot. And like I said, early on, Republicans don't have the answer to everything. And there's a lot of Republicans that need to go. They're not all looking out for us in this country. So this is just the tip of the iceberg, but we've got to start making better decisions. And not only who we choose to vote for in the primaries, every election cycle, but how much leeway we give our elected officials when we put them in office, you know, if they don't do the things, if they don't accomplish the stuff that we elected them to do, vote them out or demand recalls. Now, of course, you know, I know recalls don't seem to work in California, but they should work in other places. But If you get hired for a job, most companies, unless their hands are tied because of all these regulations from the federal government, most companies are not going to let somebody stay in a job that they're not doing, or they're not doing to the level that people hire them to do. You shouldn't. If people aren't productive, if they don't produce, you know, a job given to you by your employer is not supposed to be a social function. It's not supposed to be something we do just to keep people employed. It's supposed to be a function of hiring people, putting people in jobs where they actually contribute to the well-being of the company and help it grow, or at least help it stay afloat. We don't seem to be expecting that of our elected representatives. I think they should have a report card. And every year you should look at that report card and see how, you know, see the positive and the negatives of that year. And if there's more negatives about these people being in that office, then why in the world would you vote for them again? Just because they have an R in front of their name? Just because they have a D in front of their name? No, that's insanity. If they're not accomplishing the things that you expect them to accomplish, fire them and get someone else in there. Give somebody else a chance. All right. That's going to do it tonight. I'm ending this. It's not quite an hour and a half like the announcer said at the beginning, but I really didn't intend to do a full length show tonight. If you listen, if you tuned in and listened to this podcast with me this evening, I appreciate that. I hope you'll come back next time. And if I'm doing a live show, hopefully you'll feel like calling in. And you know, if you disagree with me about some things that I'm talking about that night, certainly feel free to do so. Just be respectful, okay? Because I don't have the answers for everything. I have opinions on everything in the world. I don't have the answers for everything in the world. And, you know, opinions are nice, but solutions way more than opinions, at least in my mind. Please check out Trice Talk on Facebook, at Trice Talk. Most of the shows, I think, will post on Facebook. At least they did in season two. Since I haven't done it in a while, I hadn't even looked at Facebook, but I'll try to post some articles and things from time to time. I'm not real proficient in Facebook. Dennis Lee used to be the one that did such a good job of posting things there. I do tweet quite often, sometimes only a couple of times a day, but sometimes I'll do more than that, depending on you know, what I'm doing with Twitter and how many things that I read that day that piss me off. But Twitter, I'm at Trice Talk WG Moon. That's Trice Talk with G Moon is what that stands for. Also, if you'd like to send me an email, like I talked about earlier in the show, that's TriceTalk69PTS@gmail.com. TriceTalk69PTS@gmail.com. I'd love for you to send me an email and just tell me what you think about the show. If you want to suggest some topic that you would like me to add into a future show, I would love to hear from you. And if you just want to kind of give me your opinion about some things, topics that I've already talked about, certainly feel free to do that as well. I check email daily and I will respond to every email that I get. I know some people don't like to share their email address because they don't want unsolicited emails. I do not send people emails unsolicited. I will not fill your inbox. I do not share your email address with anybody. There's no advertisements on this podcast at this time. And even if there were, I would not share any of your information with anybody else. We never did last season. And a number of people shared their email addresses with us to participate in the contest, which is the only way that you can participate. You'll have to do it by email. Anybody that was a participant in last year can attest to the fact. I think I did reach out to a couple of people just to see how they were doing last year, but I never solicit anything from you if I have your email address, and only I see that email address. Let's see. Do I have anything else? No, I don't think so. Now, normally I have a closing thought for the day, and I have not been able to do that. I had one if I was going to get started about a week ago before Christmas, but I didn't get started at that time, so I didn't get to use it. I'm not going to use it now because it's Christmas themed. But I'll usually have a closing thought of the day that I'd like to do, that I try to pick something that either, you know, ties in with the theme of the show or something I'd like for you to think about for the next one. But I will play just a short closing song as I get out of here. And I hope everybody has a great week leading up to New Year's. I probably do another podcast. If I don't do it New Year's Eve, I'll do it, do something New Year's Day, probably. Probably still not live yet, but something for you to listen to if you're interested in doing that. So that said, let me see if I can get this going here. All right. That's appropriate. Steely Dan, do it again. Stay safe, everybody.